Inside Look Play Workshops are semi-stage workshops of new plays, giving audiences the opportunity to see how the sausage, or theater in this case, is made.
Next weekend, Marcus Gardley's The House That Will Not Stand, directed by Marion McClinton, will be workshopped here beginning next Friday, July 20th, and run through Saturday, July 22nd.
In the play, after the mysterious death of her lover, Beatrice Albans imposes a period of mourning on her household, keeping her three daughters locked in the house to embroider linens. But when the summer heat intensifies, a handsome bachelor comes calling. This is always the setup, right? I love this.
I like it.
And a familiar secret is revealed. The foundation of Beatrice's house is rocked to its core.
Joining us this morning, we welcome the playwright Marcus Gardley, as well as the director Marion McClinton.
We also have two of the actors from The House That Will Not Stand, Harriet Foy, who plays Makita, and Dennis Perlato, who plays Lazar Albans. Thanks to all of you for joining us this morning. I appreciate it. What a great honor to have you all here.
Thank you so much.
Marcus, let us begin with you of what brought you to this story.
About 4 years ago, I saw a production of Bernarda Alba, and it was a really good production, but the comedy that I think Lorca, who was the playwright, intended for it to have was not present in the production. So I was watching it, and I was the only person in the audience laughing hysterically, and it reminded me a lot of my own family. You know, there's a very dark humor that's also mixed with tragedy, and so I said, oh, I should do an adaptation of this show, but really like use contemporary humor to show how the beautiful marriage that tragedy can have with comedy. I'm always saying that, you know, a great experience that an audience can have with the play is to exercise their laughing muscle and then at the end cry, because we use the same muscle to laugh and cry with.
Interesting. I have a question for you, which I know you won't answer. Okay, ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
What's the secret in the play?
What's the secret?
See, I knew you weren't going to
answer. No, I can't reveal that.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, but
it might be a secret recipe.
Yeah.
The marriages.
Good question.
These common law marriages of white men and black Creole women. What is it about that that you wanted to explore?
Well, I just think it's a really important part of our history. These women were millionaires, and through these common law marriages, because when the white Frenchmen passed, they would leave all their homes and estate, you know.
And the power and money that they had.
Yes, they had a lot of power and money, and they were activists. And so it's a part of our history that I think a lot of people don't know, so I really wanted to explore that.
And fighting oppression. And then,
yes.
And making headway.
Big time.
In the process.
Big time. Changing laws. They wanted to, you know, be involved in government. They were really way ahead of their time. These women.
So when Marcus comes to you, Marion, and says, here is my work, how do you interpret that?
I tried to follow what he has on the page. Marcus is the type of playwright that doesn't need directing fixing, if you know what I mean. His vision is so clear, and his rhythms, the rhythms of his language, the rhythms of the emotions in his play, of the comedy into tragedy, the whole gamut is there. So what I do is basically ask what he has intended and go for that.
That rhythm, and I guess this is a question for both of you, but is that, because that's not always obvious. You, I assume, pick up a rhythm. He has a rhythm. And at some point, you have to be on the same page, right?
As I said, I start rather on his page and not worry about mine. Mm. Because if I follow his, you know, there's a wealth of things to do as a director and as a theater artist. I try to stay on his.
Have you ever had something else happen where, you know, the playwright is around, becomes a pain in the rear?
Never.
Interesting.
I'm a director who loves to have living playwrights in the room.
Interesting.
Because it makes things a lot easier. When you sit in a moment that you are conflicted about or don't know what to do, you can just turn to the playwright and go, what did you intend? And it makes it a lot easier. Directing, I don't think, is rocket science. You know, it's not brain surgery. The play is in front of you. And I think the most important thing for a director is that you need to love the play when you read it. If you don't love it, you have no business directing it.
And you've said no in the past.
Yes, I have.
Interesting.
So, Marcus, I mean, not to put you on the spot, but it seems like Marion is a really great director to work with in that regard for
definitely.
A writer. Yeah. To say, here you go, and he say, okay, I'm on your page.
Marion is also perfect for this play, too, because his understanding of music is so immense. And so, you know, he can tell when a moment in the scene, just by looking at me, something's wrong, and then he'll ask the right question to the actors, you know, or mm-hmm. he'll talk about the larger picture of the play, and so that actors can really attack that scene in a special way. I think, you know, I write, when I look at my writing, it's music composition to me. So the punctuation, you know, I make a certain word big in capital letters, all of that is sort of scoring, if you will. And so the actors, they attack it in that way. And then what's great about a director like Marion is he can tell when a moment doesn't, something's quite not right. And it's always in the motivation. You know, he described a couple of days ago, he told the actors, you're all instruments in an orchestra. Mm. You know, and so what instrument are you playing? Didn't tell them. But then they had the beautiful job of trying to figure out what instrument they are. So I thought that was really cool.
Makita, what instrument are you playing?
I feel like I'm like a cello, because I'm the belly of the play in terms of what's going on. She's the house servant's slave. She sees all. She knows all. She's always moving throughout the scenes. You always see her cleaning. So that way she's gathering all the information that she might use for later. So I think it's that keeping it moving, keeping the rhythm moving in that way. Mm-hmm.
And there's a musicality that you feel from the very beginning.
Definitely. Well, I open it, I'm singing When the Saints Go Marching In. And we all, with Marcus's plays, it's like you have to be an actor who sings, because there's always music. His plays are musical. That's just how he writes. So you have to create songs on the spot. Like, and you hear it, but you know what it is, and you just sing it, so you go with the flow. So it's like an orchestra. There's an orchestra. And it's his thing's always like opera, but yet with words. You know, it's huge, it's epic. The characters are huge and epic.
Do you become the character and stop being you?
Oh, definitely. Well, yes, Harriet is very different from Makita. Okay, wait. Harriet thinks she knows everything, but Makita does know everything.
and do you get to riff in that musical?
Oh, yes. And what's funny is, because, you know, I've worked with Marcus and both Marion several times, it's like sometimes I'll change it within the song. Like if I do a song at the end, you rained on me, Lord, you rained on me. And sometimes I may hear it differently, and I may, you rained on me. It just depends on how I feel it, but I try to stay within what Marcus has given me. Like, we'll go through the songs and go, I feel it like this, but sing within it how it comes to you. So eventually we'll lay it all down, and then other actors will be able to have a form.
You know, we have 75 minutes left in the show, and if you could just sing for that would be I would not complain.
Okay.
I could listen to you do that for a long time.
Thank you.
So, Dennis, in the relationship that the two of you have in the play, expand a little bit on what she was saying of the give and take and the back and forth between the two of you.
Well, I just want to say, first of all, that this is one of the most powerful pieces I've ever even read, let alone now I'm hearing it from everybody. Some of the juiciest, richest language I've ever come across. And I talk about anybody, Williams, Lorca, whoever. I mean, it's so I'm thrilled to be involved. And Lazar, I mean, he's had this. He refers to his legal wife as my miserable wife. This is his home. This is his family. I don't want to say too much, but I mean, it's obvious. I have three daughters by Beatrice, my place, right?
Mm-hmm. I think you almost got your secret.
No, that's not it.
That's not it.
All right.
Close.
We're just trying. All right, go ahead.
Much better than that. And it's a 30-year-plus marriage, really, just not legal. Although it was accepted in those days. So this is the home, this is the passion, and these are these this is the fulfillment here. So and I'm very new to the piece and plugging in still, and so I'm just thrilled. I hadn't heard the instrument question until this moment, but my first instinct is I'm a trombone.
So are you a nice person in the play? I mean, are you nice?
You know, it's much more complex than that. Yeah.
Well, I insist on an answer.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. As Marion says, everybody in this play covets something, which implies deep, deep passion.
Yes, but at the end of the play, does the audience like you or hate you?
I hadn't even thought about that because that's not my primary concern. I have a hunch that the audience would see and feel the complexity of every character.
I get it.
Every character is deeply complex in this kind of writing. So I have a hunch that in terms of Lazar, many men will see themselves,
sure.
Which is a great thing for to accomplish.
Tell us a little bit about the writing, Marcus, of how long you work on something like this. The writing is gorgeous. So how long does it take for you to get it right in your mind?
That's a great question. Well, this particular piece, I spent a whole year doing research. I'm a history buff, so I love history. So actually, my biggest challenge is stop reading. It's actually stop reading stuff. And then, you know, I won't write a character name. I won't think of a title, nothing like that. I spent a year just marinating in the world, trying to respect the world, allowing the characters to speak to me. And then literally after that, at about a month, I'll be done with the whole thing. But I lock myself away and just spend, you know, intense time writing. I start out as a poet, so poetry comes naturally to me. What I struggle with is structure. And so I will outline a structure before I start, and then I just go to town. So this piece, actually, I think 3 weeks, I love deadlines. I got a deadline.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to write it in 3 weeks. So.
But it almost seems like at that point you're the lightning rod on the top of the building where you have all the material and it just comes funneling
exactly.
into you.
Exactly. Edward Albee spent 3 years thinking about Virginia, you know, who's eating Virginia Woolf, and then wrote it in 3 weeks. So I think this is most of the writing for a lot of playwrights is thinking. Thinking is writing. Thinking about the characters. Really, you know, it's like dating. You know, you get to know the play. And then you decide, okay, let's get married, you know.
Or I'm not ready to commit.
Oh, I'm not ready to commit. Yeah, exactly, which often happens.
Marcus Gardley's The House That Will Not Stand, directed by Marion McClinton, will be workshopped here beginning next Friday, July 20th, and runs through Sunday, July 22nd. Marcus, Marion, Harriet, and Dennis, I thank you so much for being with us. Best of luck. What a treat to have you all here with us.
Thank you
very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.